Hello and welcome to our latest episode of Ahead of the Curve, a podcast from the Post-Trade Solutions division in LSEG, which gives you an introduction to the derivatives world. My name is Roland Stamm, and with me today is Maeve Geer from FMSSG, and we're going to explain what that actually is and what that means. Maeve is heading the team for quantitative analysis and valuation in FMS. We both go back actually to our common banking days. We used to work in a bank called Depfer Bank. We're responsible for pricing and representing the derivatives portfolio there. And that was before the financial crisis, long time ago. Then Lehman happened, the Lehman default happened. And I still remember a lot of panic and activity from that, right? And you probably do too.
Yeah. I remember us all working late into the night and the traders trying to rehedge all those trade after trade and try to terminate all those trades as well. You know.
Yeah.
Also remember we got free pizza that night, but
see?
Yeah. That was the last of the
you
freebies.
You win some, you lose some. So the result of that was that regulators across the world decided to tighten the screws a bit on regulation. And as a result, we got clearing wherever possible to do central clearing. And also we got margining rules, UMR being one of them, the uncleared margining rules for initial margin. And the company I then, after the banking experience I worked for, was a consultancy that helped building the tools to calculate margins. And that was then turned into a service. And the service is based on a software called Open Source Risk Engine, or ORE in short. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about. We have talked about this in previous episodes of this podcast before. By the way, for our audience, there is a new release that just came out a couple of days ago of ORE. So please have a look at it. It's the 14th release since we started in 2016. And now to get into what FMS actually is. It's one of those famous, very long German words, but there's a good English translation. Why don't you explain to us what FMSSG stands for and does?
Yeah, well, you can probably do the German word better than me, but I'm going to just say it in English. FMS stands for Financial Market Stabilization. And it's the German government's institution for winding up the portfolio, which was taken over from Hypo Real Estate during the financial crisis that time. So the aim is to really wind it up in a profitable manner to get the best possible results for the German taxpayer. And it's obviously very challenging because, as you will recall, it's a very complex portfolio and parts of it are long dated and illiquid. There's been a real focus on the FMS side on reducing the risk and the complexity in the portfolio. And luckily or thankfully, our colleagues on the asset management side have been really successful at that so far.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say are the biggest challenges of winding down such a big and complex, long-dated portfolio?
Well, there are many challenges. I suppose I speak more from the risk perspective, and for me, because I'm working on the quantitative analysis side. So for us, our particular challenges on the structured trades, and there we have to come up with an independent market valuation, even though there isn't really a market or a liquid one anymore. These were products which were traded before the financial crisis, and they're not really popular anymore at all, for good reason, generally. And in particular then for the hedging derivatives, which are collateralized, which obviously became so much more important after the financial crisis, as you just said. For those trades, we need to come up with a market valuation every single day, and we need to be able to agree those valuations with our counterparties really reasonably well in the collateral management process. Our counterparties are, you know, really big multinational banks who have lots of resources to put into that, and we obviously don't. So that can be tough work for us, and to do so in a cost-efficient manner as well. That's on the one side a kind of a technical challenge, because a lot of those kind of structured trades, we can't actually put them into our core portfolio management system. Either we can't capture the trades there, or sometimes we can capture them, but they don't get valued very well, or we found the valuations to be unreliable. So for those trades, then we have like a separate external pricing engine, which we use, an external pricing system, and then we feed the values and the risk figures for that back into the portfolio management system. That's the technical side of it. Then obviously on the modeling side of it, we have also their challenges. As you will recall it from those days, I mean, there are standard market models for all of those trades, for those kind of products. But so we don't have to reinvent the wheel in that sense. But the models themselves are very sensitive to the input parameters. And some of those input parameters are either inobservable or the market data is also illiquid. So that's fairly challenging. And also over the last 10 years, we've had a lot of market changes as well. We had the move into negative interest rates, which we all thought couldn't possibly happen. And then we had the decommissioning of LIBOR as well. And so all of those have to be reflected as well also for structured trades. So that's kept us busy over the last while.
I can imagine, yeah. Yes. And we went part of the way because while I was working for that consultancy firm, I remember that we had some projects together even before the one that we want to talk mm-hmm. about in particular. So I mentioned ORE in the beginning. That is a full-fledged risk system. It is not just used for initial margin calculations, like I mentioned, the service that Acadia and now Post Trade Solutions is doing for our clients, but it also offers other analytics tools like XVA calculations, so the value adjustments of various forms for funding cost, for credit cost, for margin cost, etc. But it also supports the pricing, just the pricing of very structured, very complex trades via its scripted trade engine or scripted trade module. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the kinds of structures that you were particularly interested in. I don't know how deeply you may go into that, how public or unpublic that is.
I mean, some of it is public, and some of the simpler structures are, for instance, the Lobo trades that we have. Those are essentially Bermudan option trades. Then there are also other formula-based payoffs with interest rate inflation-linked payoffs.
And inflation is in particular, as you said, problematic because they are so long-dated and they tend to accumulate up, right? Up and up and up. And that means that the collateral amount also explodes, kind of. And that is obviously something that needs to be taken care of. As you said, you have to agree on a daily basis with your highly sophisticated counterparties in the market. How could ORE help you in handling those trades? Well, why did you choose ORE in the first place, let's say?
We were already familiar with ORE, as you say. It also does XVA, and we had used it in some limited capacity also for CVA before, but also for vanilla trades. So we had some familiarity with it, and we've been able in recent years to actually reduce some of the complexity in the portfolio. So we had reduced the number of currencies and the number of models, so we didn't have quite as many as we used to do. And with that in mind, we were really looking around to see if we could find a tool that would help us maintain the quality standard that we wanted to achieve, but at the same time also reduce the operating costs for this external pricing system that we had. The open risk engine has obvious benefits. I mean, the number one is that as an open source, it's free and there's no license costs. So you can't bite it on price. But I think the other major advantage is, of course, it's not a black box system, and you have full access to all of the code. And that means then for us, then we don't have to be reliant on someone else to explain the behavior or why it's giving out certain kinds of results, but we can just go in and debug it ourselves and figure it out. And that gives you a lot of confidence already in the figures that you're producing. And that just feeds into your quality, which in itself also feeds it into cost efficiency over time. So that's, I guess, the background of why we were looking at it. I think the other thing you mentioned earlier was the scripted trades framework. When we originally started looking at the open risk engine for covering our portfolio, we were was like mid-2023, and that hadn't been released yet. But then late 2023, the scripted trades framework was released, and that really gave us the possibility to cover the whole of our portfolio. And I think that was really crucial as well, because, you know, if you have those one or two little trades which are just have to be handled exceptionally, then that really just drains the resources over time. So that gave us that flexibility as well. Yeah, then we said we try and go for it.
Would you say it was a success?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm really happy overall. when we went for it, we had a very tight timeline. We really committed to it. And in the end, we had to do the pre-study, the migration, and the go-live all within 1 year. We were very lucky to have an internal team, first of all, who were really enthusiastic about it and really committed to it. But we also were very happy to have some support from your team. And I think that, particularly with the at the start, then that kind of special knowledge on the scripted trades framework, and then a few little tweaks here and there to the codes and the functionality that really kind of made that difference for us, that made it really work for our needs. And particularly then on the modeling side, especially when you talk about the inflation trades as well, that expertise really came in useful for us.
I'm really glad to hear that, and excited to hear that it's a success, that your reconciliations with your counterparties are working and calculating risk numbers and everything. So that's really good.
It's a work in progress. I mean, there's still a lot of improvement. I wouldn't say a lot of improvement, but there's, of course, you always have to keep monitoring these things. And markets, of course, are changing as well.
Yes.
But I think the important thing is that you have a flexible tool, and you have something that you feel comfortable and confident in using. And I think that's what we've achieved, the Open Risk Engine.
Yes. So the scripted trade framework was originally also designed for the service that I already mentioned, for the initial margin calculation. So it's not only covering the kinds of products that you mentioned, in particular inflation, but also all sorts of other hybrid or highly complex trades like equity plus interest rates, FX plus interest rates, those kinds of highly structured trades, as you said, that were very popular before the financial crisis, and in some areas are still very popular. In Asia, you still have many of these equity and FX linkers in place. And so we see lots of these in our service as well. But it was really great to see an adoption in a productive pricing system internally in an organization outside of our client base, where we do this as a service on a daily basis, right? So that's really very exciting for us to have. And we are continuing to do that. There was a press release just recently that we did a similar thing with our sister company, Quantile, also within the PTS, the Post-Trade Solutions Group, where we also replaced a third-party product for structured pricing. And we are continuing that inside the LSEC group. But of course, it's even better and even more important if our clients do this. And so thanks for sharing that war story, or whatever we want to call it. So for our viewers and listeners, maybe just a little bit of background, that we also have a lot of resources for learning how to use ORE. It's not just that we have to come in and tell you all about it. You have a very large number of resources to find out for yourselves how to use ORE and how to make the best out of it. It is a very complex system, no doubt about it, because it does so many things. It's very flexible, so it has many, many levers and buttons that you can flick and change and switch on and off. But it is doable, as Maeve just gave testimony of. And so we have something called the ORE Academy, which is a YouTube channel. You can find some introductory videos there to see how ORE gets installed, how to run a simple pricing and things like that. We have a large user guide, which you can also find online on GitHub, where you also find the ORE resources. And then, of course, there's us, always there to help you if you need help. And that concludes our podcast for today. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you in the next episode.